Hi, YouTube.
It's us.
Every time. Welcome back to It's 3 a.m. Too Bad, One Good. Or maybe I should just say Too Bad, One Good.
Some bad. Many bad, some good.
Yes, because this is our supersized Halloween edition.
Because there are so many bad and good spooky movies to watch. There's not enough time.
Yeah, we basically figured out, it was me, really. I was just, oh my god, October's almost over, and we haven't watched a lot of spooky movies.
Yeah.
So I was just like, let's just cram a bunch in, and we'll just, like, go from there. So we watched 5 movies, and...
In 24 hours.
Yes.
That is a part we should mention.
Yes, 5 movies in 24 hours. They range from, like, bad to good, so yes. I tried to do, like, a transitional phase where it was, like... Bad, like,
I think we started at the worst,
yeah,
and then we slowly made our way up to good.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah, it was like an incline.
Yeah.
So we watched...
An exponential climb.
An exponential climb.
I took math.
Yeah, so we watched Grizzly Rage, Fraternity Massacre at Hell Island, Cursed, Idle Hand.
And Detention.
Yes. Actually, I can't remember if it's Idle Hand or Idle Hands.
I think it's Hands. But it makes more sense to be Hand.
Yeah.
I wrote down Hands, but I also did it from memory.
Yeah. It's whatever.
I don't know. Well,
like, you
Google
get the gist.
It. Yeah.
It's from 1999.
You'll
you get
figure
the gist.
It out, yeah.
So let's start with Grizzly Rage.
Yes.
Which we're continuing on with our grizzly bear theme. We've watched a lot of things that involve grizzly bears.
Well, I do think when we first started talking about doing this podcast, I think this is one of the first movies we had talked about watching.
Yeah.
But we weren't able to find it.
Yes. And then I found it.
Right.
And then we watched it. And was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
It's like it was as bad as I thought. It was like it was worse than I thought it would be, but also not necessarily in a good way. Yeah. Like, I was disappointed.
You were disappointed that it wasn't so bad that it was good?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it was mostly just bad in the way that it wasn't that entertaining. Like, there were a few things that were, like, funny to laugh at, but, like, as a whole, like, because, you know, sometimes you watch a movie that's really bad, and it's like, oh, I need to make everyone I know watch this with me.
Yeah.
Because you just want to watch other people watch these bad movies. This is a movie that I'm like... I'm not really going to make anyone watch this.
Oh, that reminds me. Have you ever seen another gay movie?
I'm pretty sure, actually, you put it on at some sort of thing we were doing. And it was one of those situations where, like, it was on, but, like, I wasn't necessarily giving it my full attention.
Oh.
So I've seen, like, parts, but, like, if you asked me, like, what happened in it, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
But I have seen some of it.
That's another one that's, like, it's so bad that it's good, and I make a lot of people watch it.
Right. Like, I remember. Yeah, we should definitely, like, watch it all the way through sometime.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But... Grizzly Rage, honestly, rewatching it, it's almost worse than I remember it.
Yeah, it's like, well, I realized, like, not even that far into the film, I'm like, is this movie really gonna be like 40% just montage? And it's not
you
even
did
like
say that.
Yeah, and it's not even like killing spree montage. It's like, okay, so the first like 20 minutes is almost all driving montage with like the occasional 2 minutes of like dialogue. And then they cut back to driving montage. And it's like, I get it. They're driving far away. Like, you didn't need to give me a 20-minute long montage to tell me that.
Yeah.
So, and that was very much a bad movie thing that wasn't bad in an entertaining way. It was just a bad as in a, okay, you're losing me and the movie just started kind of way. Like, it felt like it took a while to get it going, but really most of the movie was just them being hunted down.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it felt like it took forever to get there because nothing interesting happened before that.
I agree. What's like, weird, the weirdest part about it is that this had an actual budget compared to Yeti,
right.
Which we kept comparing it to Yeti because Yeti had a $200 budget and was weirdly better than this movie that had a $2 million budget.
Yeah, $2 million. And, like, I guess none of the budget went towards hiring people who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Except for the stunt people, because unless people died on that set, the stunts seemed to be pretty, like...
Meh.
More, like, yeah, like,
well,
the car stunts were, like,
crazy,
decent.
Yeah. Well, they also threw that guy onto a roof.
Yeah.
So I guess they had to deal with that.
Yeah. So, like, I think some of the stunts were, like, pretty solid. And, like, they were complex enough that it's, like, you couldn't just get some random person that does stunts for a hobby.
Yeah.
Like, so I imagine they spent a good bit of money on, like, stunts. But I'm honestly struggling to figure out what else they spent money on.
I think the entire budget literally went into stunt, like, a stunt coordinator, a bear trainer, and yeah. that car.
Right. Because, like, I cannot imagine getting a bear on a set would be cheap. Like, yeah. I doubt they had the bear for long, though. Because, like, the very small variety in which shots they had of this bear is I think they took, like, a couple different angles of this bear near the woods and then a couple shots of it by the car and called it a day. Like, I doubt this bear would, like, I don't think they shot this bear for more than, like, a couple hours.
I would believe that they actually shot this movie over the course of, like, maybe a week.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were...
I totally believe that.
It was only one location. They didn't really yeah. go anywhere.
And, like, while, like, in the film, at least, it, like, kind of gives the idea that they're supposed to be all over this really, like, empty land, and they're going all over it. It really, like, in reality, they probably didn't travel much.
No, not at all.
Do it. Because, like... The land, it was very much that kind of land where it's like, okay, you find a patch of trees, you find a patch of not trees, and, like, you're done. And I'm pretty sure that's what they did, because a lot of the different locations basically looked the same.
I agree. So, I mean, all in all, it wasn't that great of a movie. And it shows
it really
from
yeah.
IMDb, because doesn't it have, like, a 2.6 or something like that?
Yeah, it has a 2.6, which is honestly, I'm pretty sure, the lowest IMDb rating I've seen in my life.
I want to say I saw one more that was, like, a one or something, but I can't remember. Maybe there's a list out there that has, like, the lowest rated IMDb stuff.
I need to, because they have, like, the top IMDb, so I'm like, where's the lowest?
Yeah.
You know?
Someone has to have it out there.
And we need to find them.
We need to find this person. So, do you want to explain our new rating system?
Yes. So a friend of mine I explained to him about this podcast, and he brought up a rating system that he knew of that ranges from negative 10 to 10. The idea being that, so 10 would be, it's a really, really great movie, you should watch it. Negative 10 is it's a really, really bad movie, you should watch it. And then 0 is, it's a really, really bad movie, don't watch it. So the idea being is that you can still decide whether it's good or bad, and it kind of separates whether it's good or bad and whether or not it's, like, fun to watch.
Yeah, which I like that system, especially since we watch a lot of bad movies. So it feels appropriate. But, with this one... Catherine's evolving her Pokemon in Pokemon Go.
I had 3 minutes left. But before Community at Day ended, let me live.
So for Grizzly Rage, I definitely was... I rated this one a 0, as in do not watch.
I gave it a -2, which honestly, I should downgrade to, like, a -1. Really. Like, rethinking it, because I'm really trying to think of redeemable qualities. And, like, if anything, if you were to go just at the scenes where they're getting murdered, just to be like, haha, wow, that's really poorly done. Because it was like, you never saw a human being and a bear in the same shot.
Yeah.
Like, you never saw that. And so you would see some very obviously fake, like, grizzly paws that someone clearly had put on for, like, grabbing an ankle or something. But, like, otherwise, you would see, like, here's an insert of a bear roaring, here's someone getting murdered. Here's an insert of a bear roaring, here's someone getting murdered again. And it would just be back and forth between this same, basically, different angles of the same insert, and then someone, like, screaming and, like, blood spurting. But it wasn't even, like, they got fake blood. They took, like, graphics and to make it look like blood splattered across the screen. But it was like, oh, yeah, they did this in, like, paint.
Yeah, it was clearly an editing effect, and it was, like...
It was a very poorly done editing effect, too. Like, it
absolutely.
Was something that, like, someone who... You could just, like, go on YouTube and be like, video tutorial, how to, like, make blood splatter.
I just learned how to use After Effects.
Oh, my God. Honestly, I don't think you need After Effects to do that. It was so... like, it was so bad, because it's flat. Like, it was very 2D.
Yeah.
Like, if it was animated, maybe they could have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
but it looked like the blood was like 2D. It was just a flat red color.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's not even like a well done blood splatter across the lens effect. It's literally just like they're like, we couldn't even afford fake blood with our $2 million budget.
I know. How much does it cost to just go down to, like, the funny thing is they had fake blood, so I'm just like, you guys couldn't have done like splattering the fake blood.
Right. Like, it's even like, even the death scenes were the most interesting. I say air quotes when I say interesting because I wouldn't call it interesting. But if you had to pick a part that was like not boring to watch, it was those parts.
Mm.
But this is the kind of movie, like, you sit and watch with someone and you basically talk over the whole thing, which is pretty much what we did.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we literally missed nothing.
Right. And it wasn't even like we were discussing the movie. You could have a whole other conversation as long as you, like, glance over at the screen every now and then. Like, you're not missing anything. It's basically just watching these people try not to get killed by a bear for, like, an hour.
Yeah. After they killed the bear's cub.
Yeah.
So, really, they had it coming.
They really did, because they were like, let's trespass on this land. And then they're, like, doing this stupid off-roading.
Yeah.
It's like a solid 10-minute montage of them just off-roading and going, woo! And then, like, they crash into a tree. They're like, oh, my God, I can't believe, why has this happened? And I'm like, probably because you're off-roading and, yeah, like, you're driving extremely unsafely in land that you don't know.
Ugh.
I'm like, that's probably why you hit a tree. Also, that car, so if you've listened to our past episodes, in the Cabin Fever movie, there we talked how there was this one guy who, like, just would not die. Like, yeah, he got sick, he was, like, beaten up, he got caught on fire,
yeah,
he went into a lake, and still this guy was not dead. Right? This car in Grizzly Rage is the equivalent of that guy. Like, this car would not break down.
It ran into a tree, it got flipped over multiple times, it got beat the fuck, yeah, up by,
like,
a,
it rolled down a cliff, it got beaten up, there was something else that happened to it, too.
It got beat up by the bear,
yeah,
and then I think they lit it on fire at one point. I think that, yeah, was the last. I think that was when it finally was gone, when they, yeah, lit it on fire.
But this car, honestly, because the whole thing was like, oh, they hit the tree, and they're like, oh no, what do we do now? Because the car doesn't work. And so then you're like, oh, the car is broken down. They're trapped here. And then they get the car running again. And then they fall off a cliff, and you're like, oh my God, they're like really trapped. And they're like, no, they get it going again.
Yeah.
Like,
it's absurd.
And it's to the point where it's like, why don't you all just, how have you not just driven away yet?
Yeah. There were just a lot of dumb moments in it where it was just like, why are you guys doing, yeah, this versus, they're like, let's drive further in. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't even want to get into it.
And when the bear cub first got killed, I'm like, okay, well, this is the whole, the catalyst for the rest of the movie, because it's,
yeah,
like, you made the mama bear mad, she's gonna kill you now. And I'm like, no, actually, what this really is it was the catalyst for that one character, I'm blanking on his name, to take his shirt off, and so then he's just wearing a tight white tank top,
oh,
the entire rest of the movie until,
oh,
he takes
Hecklin's
that off.
Character.
Yeah, that's the only purpose of that cub getting killed, was so that he could take his shirt off to try and move it, and so he could spend the rest of the movie being eye candy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only redeeming quality of this movie, is that he was...
You're not wrong. Him running around, like, all sweaty in the tank top was, like, that was, like, pretty entertaining, but...
Yeah. Alright, well, let's move on to Fraternity Massacre at Hell Island.
Yes.
Which is a horror comedy.
Like, the... When I saw... IMDb, the reviews of people who hate it, I'm like, how can you, and they're like, oh, this is just some stupid movie, and I'm like, how can you look at a movie called Fraternity Massacre at Hell Island and not assume that it's a stupid movie?
I know, it doesn't even have a good title.
Right.
Like, not even remotely good.
No, like, you hear that title and you're like, oh, it's that kind of movie.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
So this was, like, my second time attempting to watch this, because I attempted to watch this a couple years ago with some friends, and most, if not almost all of us, fell asleep.
Yeah.
And then woke up literally at the end of the movie.
Well, like, which is fair. Like, I can definitely see that.
We were also very tired. But,
yeah,
it's just really funny that we all fell asleep. Like, collectively.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was that kind of movie that's similar to Yeti.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not necessarily a good movie, but I was just really enjoying what was going down.
Absolutely.
Like, there was always something there entertaining. Like, unlike Grizzly Rage, which, like, really, like, it's the whole movie is the same. Like, nothing especially interesting happens. This one, it was constantly some strange thing was happening.
Floor, like, creaks like crazy.
Yeah, it's like a couple spots.
I'll have to stay away from those. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like all of the best parts of this movie centered, like, the opening sequence was pretty funny, but there was a long time where I was just like, what did that have to do with the rest of the movie?
Oh, honestly, because I just remember there being, like, Polaroids on a wall with, like, writing on them and someone, like, touching all of them. And it seemed very much like a true crime, kind of, like, trying to put the pieces together kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, someone's analyzing these photos and then, like, I don't know. It feels very true crime. But I think a lot of the movies we did, for whatever reason, had very true crime-esque sequences.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a thing with B-movies in the 2000s.
Maybe. Because I still honestly don't remember what the hell that, those Polaroids had to do with anything.
Yeah. Well, like, that was another movie where, like, some scenes would happen and I'd be like, why, though?
Yeah.
And it's like, they were purely there for entertainment.
Like, there was that sequence where the person escaped a mental hospital, and that had nothing to do with anything because that character never came back.
No, they did at the very, very end.
Oh, he did?
At the very end, it was the video of him running for Congress.
Oh.
It was the guy who had escaped, and he was like, oh yeah, a bunch of people are, like, spreading rumors that I escaped from an asylum, but I didn't do that. He's like, the only reason my mental health records aren't public is because the court ordered that they can't be. And then after there are more credits, and then he goes, hi, I'm running for re-election, and you're like...
Oh my god, I didn't even notice that. Oh,
it was the very end. It was so good.
Oh, that's really good.
So yeah, that's the only time he
comes
back up.
That's really good political commentary.
Oh, yeah, it's the only time he comes up. It's so good.
That movie had, like, very subtle, very good commentary then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think one thing I loved about this movie that was very different from a lot of horror movies is at the end, it was, like, it was only the gay people who had survived. It was, like, the gay guys and then the one girl.
I know. And then the one guy came out and he was just like, I've been here the whole night hiding. And then they were just like, are you gay?
That was amazing. They're like, but are you gay?
That was so funny. Because we definitely drew parallels to our fraternity.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah.
We're like, this was us picking the next, like... pledge class.
Yeah,
it's like, are they gay?
It's just recruit. It's like, oh, I'm interested in rushing. Yeah, but are you gay?
They're like, you can be our token straight person then.
Yeah.
Which is what they said. Also,
which was the perfect response.
Also, what was really funny was when the gay guys rescued that one girl from being murdered in the showers.
Oh my god, yeah.
And then she was just like, you're gay? Why are all the best ones gay?
Yeah.
And then, like, was about to leave, and he was just like, you're my buddy.
And then they were, like, friends for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Nothing like trauma to bond people.
Like, I do love at the end when, like, they were all like, oh, we're fine now. The murderer is dead. And it was, like, it was the gay couple and then the other gay couple. And they both, like, hugged. And then they were like, wait, are you gay? They're like, yeah. We're like, we're gay, too.
Because they were all gays hiding within the fraternity.
It was so good. It was so good.
Honestly, I don't have very much to, like, say about this one because it's just... a ride. You have to just watch it and experience
it. Oh, I will say one of my favorite parts was how when the clown would kill people, how after killing them, he would do, like,
a dance.
Like, he would just, like, dance around them for, like, a solid, like, 40 seconds. And, like, even if, like, the one time he blew someone up with a bomb and he was far away, he's still, like, dancing. And I'm like, wow, me if I was a murderer.
They're like, why does he stop to dance? It's his ritual. He just loves to do it.
Yeah, and it was great. And I definitely still have a video on my phone where he, like, stabs someone and then just dances around them for, like, a while. And, like, everyone's running away. And he's like, I don't need to chase them. I'm just gonna dance.
Because eventually he did catch up.
He did, yeah. Like, he's in no rush to kill everyone. It's like, he's just taking his time, having a good time.
Yeah, because they were basically sequestered on this island, so he was just like, man, it's fine, I'll take my time picking them off.
Yeah, yeah. It was, honestly, I had a great time. I thought it was fun.
So what did you rate this one?
I rated it a -7.
Oh, okay.
So in the sense that, like, it was, so to remind you of our scale in case you forgot, a negative 10 is, like, it was really bad, go watch it, is, like, because it was definitely bad. Like, it was not objectively, I think, a very good movie, but it was so entertaining to watch. So I had a really great time. So I'm going to give it a solid negative 7.
Yeah, I'll agree. Negative 7. Yeah. I'll agree with that. Mm-hmm. So next we have Cursed, which is a Wes Craven movie.
Yes.
Weirdly enough, this one has, like, I don't know what it is with Wes Craven movies. There are certain ones that have, like, weirdly low ratings on IMDb, and I went and checked on this one. This one has, like, a 5.5 or something, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's, like, in the middle. So it's in the middle for our normal scale where we decide whether it's good or bad.
Right.
I like this movie because I own it on DVD, so I enjoy it. So I don't think it's bad.
No.
So this was definitely our middle ground where we were, like, transitioning into the good movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was really good for that, too. Yeah. Like, it was a really good middle ground movie.
Because it did have a lot of, the aspects, there were a lot of aspects of it that were kind of like the other two that we were watching where it was very, like, campy and, like, absurd.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it is basically a horror fantasy comedy.
Yeah. I think out of all the horror movies that we've watched so far in this, is that it was definitely one of the ones with better effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the CGI was decent. It wasn't amazing. Like, it did not blow me away, but it was, like, it didn't break the suspension of disbelief. Like, I could watch it and be like, okay, yeah, he's turning into a werewolf. Not like, wow, this is... like, it didn't totally break the tension for me, so...
Yeah, which is funny, because there are a lot of 80s movies that center around werewolves, where I think it's, like, American Werewolf and... Not American Werewolf in London. The one before that one.
Yeah.
The original one. It has pretty good, like, effects where he turns into a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for it being from the time period that it was. But a lot of... Back then, they did a lot more, like, practicals and stuff. So they really thought about how to make this visually interesting and look real.
Right, right. And they did a decent job at that. And I think, like I said, like, especially for some of the other horror movies you watched, I mentioned this to you, how I understood more of the motivation, because there is some, because I think with me, a lot of times what separates the really bad horror movies from the really good ones is, like, the motivation behind what the characters do and how they react to what's happening, because a lot of times you'll see someone, like, running from the murderer, and you're like, oh, you're so dumb, why are you doing that? That's, like, the worst option you could possibly do. In this movie, like, they would make decisions, and you would see, like, okay, like, I see why they would do that. This is a reasonable, like, option to go to. It may not even necessarily be the best one, but, like, in this situation, if I were, for whatever reason, being chased by a werewolf in a parking garage, I could see why I might try and take the elevator instead of, like, the stairs.
Yeah.
Like...
Because we were talking about that scene, and I thought that scene... Because this... This had a very interesting cast because it has, like, Jesse Eisenberg, Christina Ricci, God, the guy who played Peter in Fringe and also Pacey on Dawson's Creek. I always forget his name. I forget the other guy's.
And the other girl's name. I forgot her name already.
Shannon Elizabeth?
The one who's in everything.
Oh, it's Judy Greer?
Yes.
Yeah, Judy Greer. Shannon Elizabeth, and also the singer, the R&B singer Maya.
Yeah.
Because she was the one who was in the parking garage.
Yeah.
Which, and that sequence was very realistic in the sense where I was just like, she was very smart. Like, again.
I actually really liked that sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was a good, like, killer stalking the prey sequence where she, like, was like, I'm being attacked by this. I'm trying to think of the most practical ways to hide from this killer.
Right.
And she really did it because it was like she hid behind that. She hid under the car. She hid on the other side of a car.
On the side of it,
ran into, like, turned on her, whatchamacallit, or what the hell?
Like the car alarm
so they couldn't hear well enough. And then she ran into the elevator and shit. It was, it was a very good sequence.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, it was very much like I could watch that and actually immerse myself more in it instead of, like, making fun of it. I could watch it and just, like, actually experience the tension that you're supposed to feel during one of these scenes.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, also Portia de Rossi was in it. I totally forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she was in it for, like, a hot second as a psychic. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Milo Ventimiglia, whatever. He's on This Is Us. He plays Jack on This Is Us now.
Oh, right, yeah. You mentioned that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that was the part of the... That was the part of the movie we were talking about that we were really into, because yeah, yeah. It was, like... Because you pointed out, you were like, why do a lot of these horror movies have homophobia in
yeah.
them?
Because, like, I feel like so many of the movies you watch, there's always that one character who's, like, the, like, teen or young adult bully who's, like, who's just, like, super homophobic yeah. for, like, no reason. Except this one had a reason, which yeah. was revealed later, but...
This one also had really great quotes. I wrote down...
Oh my god, yeah.
I wrote down a lot of them. I don't know how many you wrote down.
I didn't write down, because I think I started taking notes at the one after.
Okay.
Wait, or did I?
Long dramatic pause.
Oh my god, when did I start? Yeah, so...
Just really long pauses.
We watched a lot of movies.
Yeah, so...
So I'm trying to separate what happened in which movies. So this was... Okay, so this was Idle Hands.
That was Idle Hands.
The cat thing, when did that happen?
That was Idle Hands.
Okay, yeah, okay, so that's when I started taking notes for that. Okay, yeah, so I did actually write down, like, 4 quotes from Cursed.
Okay.
I just didn't title the first 2 movies, so I was trying to remember which things happened when. So you go, sorry.
Well, one of the first ones I wrote down was this... Chick had, like, a nosebleed, and then she was just like, blood freak you out, and I was just like, oh my god, that should have been a line in Twilight.
Oh my god, absolutely.
And I don't understand why it wasn't.
Yes.
Maybe it'll be in the reboot that comes out in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Which I'm waiting for.
I'm just, what are some of the ones I wrote down? These are all, like, these 3 quotes are all ones that I want to start using in my everyday life, which are, everybody's cursed, it's called life. Sorry to interrupt an awkward moment.
Yeah, I also
which is my up. New favorite, like when you're at a party and you, like, kind of squeeze yourself into a group conversation, I'm gonna now enter with that.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm not gay, I'm cursed. Yeah.
I also wrote down one that from that scene where he said, you can be gay, I'm busy.
Yes.
I also have...
That was so good.
Let's see. You have no idea who I had to blow to get you in here. And he's like, who do I have to blow to get out of here?
Yes. There are so many. Like, it was very quotable. And the part near the end when, like, they were trying to, like, the werewolf had run away. And so they're trying to bring it back because the cops are there. And they're, like, trying to describe. And they're like, oh, yeah, she has a really bony butt and fat thighs and bad skin. And the werewolf just shows up on the window and is giving them the finger. And I'm like, yes!
You, like, burst through the window. I've seen that gif used multiple times. It's so funny.
It was so good. Because, like, I expected it to show up, but, like, the giving the middle finger was, like, that last detail that I didn't see coming. But it was so perfect.
Yeah.
And it was so campy, and I loved it.
Ah, it is. It, like, a lot of Wes Craven's movies are like that. He really loves to blend that humor into his horror, and I appreciate it a lot.
Right, because this was definitely one of those movies where I wouldn't see it and automatically think horror comedy, but there were little moments like that.
Yeah.
That, like, kind of, it felt very self-aware. Yeah. So I enjoyed that.
Well, they very much, like, all the actors very much played it, like, more serious
yeah,
than
absolutely.
Comedic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just, like... They were very serious, but the situations were very comedic.
Right, exactly, yeah. So it balanced those two really well without necessarily going into the comedic genre, I think.
Okay, so what would you rate this one?
I'm trying to see if I wrote anything down. I didn't. I want to say, like, either, like, a 6 or a 6, or, okay, I'll bump it up to a 6.5, because it's very, very quotable, but there are moments when I was kind of going in and out with my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were parts that would kind of slump a little bit,
yeah.
And, like, at one point, I was getting to the point where I'm like, okay, I feel like it should be ending, like, soonish.
Yeah.
So, overall, like, I think there are definitely, like, slumps in it, but it was super quotable and overall a solid movie, and, like, there were definitely really good parts to it.
Yeah. I gave it, like, a 6.
Yeah.
I also told you that I think that this would make a great TV series.
Yes. And I think it would, yeah.
So, MTV, look out for that. I'm coming for it.
I want more meat to this gay subplot.
Yes. Honestly, it's gonna move from subplot to regular plot. It's just gonna be part of the regular story.
Well, actually, one thing I wrote. So I have one little section of my notes called just overall thoughts. And one of those is, and they're basically just two bad movie tropes that I've been noticing and enjoying. And one of them is gay subplots.
Yeah.
Just like having a gay subplot in there for like no particular reason, I'm really into.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't really serve any purpose in the story. But it's fun, and I'm enjoying it.
It's for the audience to enjoy. It's for us to be like, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Well, it was like after we watched Fraternity Massacre at Hell Island, and I saw it on IMDb, and it categorized it as, like, horror and then LGBTQ.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, yes, the gay movie. Okay.
Well, there aren't very many of them.
Right.
So let's move on to Idle Hand, Hands, whatever.
Whichever idle, like, you know how when they spell it with, like, the S in parentheses?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we're calling it.
Yeah. Just prevent, I'll put it in the thing. It's, like, yeah. Parenthetical. Hands, maybe.
Yes, it might be, we're not sure.
So this movie, I think this might be the oldest one that we watched, because this one's from 1999.
Yeah.
So, again, the effects aren't super great, no. But... it's really funny because the main guy in it is definitely the dude from Final Destination, and I didn't...
Oh, really?
Like, I didn't realize that until, like, we were watching it, and I was just like, oh, I totally forget that he's in that. And then also Jessica Alba's in it, for whatever reason.
Oh, my God, the first shot when you see her riding by on, like, the... it's can you even call it a motorcycle? Because it looks kind of like a moped.
It was somewhere between the two.
Yeah, it was like, it was one of those. And then, like, the helmet that she's wearing.
Yeah.
And it was just, I'm like, well, at least they cared about head safety.
Yeah. She's like, I want to be safe while I drive my little moped bike thing.
It was just, and she was driving so slowly down the road, and it's just slow motion, and she's just totally dead-faced. And yeah. You're like, okay.
So with this movie, a lot, this is also a horror comedy, so this was... for me, I always love to watch this because it's a hilarious movie to me.
Yeah, it was so funny. I actually really didn't take a lot of notes on it, but I think it was halfway because, like, half because I was just
enjoying
it so much. Yeah.
We did do a couple of draw illustrations.
Yes. In our... we both did illustrations.
Because there were, like, really funny moments. So you have the...
So I have when he... so, like, the cat was bothering him, and the hand that he had no control over grabbed the cat by the tail, swung it around in circles like a lasso, and threw it, and it goes flying out the window and, like, all the way across the street. Like, this cat is thrown, like, 200 feet.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, he really just yeeted that cat right out the window, and I'm like, I can't think of how to describe what just happened in words, so I made an illustration.
Yeah.
Which, like... if we ever come up with some way to share visually things, I will make sure we post this illustration for
you. Oh, I can just post them on our Twitter.
Oh, we have a Twitter?
I have a Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that we're... yep. So I will take a picture of this so it can be posted.
And the illustration I have was of Vivica Fox's character getting hit by a car. She literally got backed into and then went flying, like, a good,
she like, probably 20 feet. Yeah, it was probably, like, 20 feet. Like, and the car wasn't going that fast. It backed down a driveway, like, maybe 10 feet, which is not far enough by any means to hit someone back 20 feet.
Yeah. So that was funny.
Like, if anything, the car would knock her over and then run her over.
Yeah. See, that's what I thought was going to happen, then instead it was just like,
and boom. She just flew her back, and then she's like, oh, the breath is knocked out of me, but I am otherwise fine.
I am perfectly fine to go hunt down this evil demon hand. I also like when
love
she was...
her. She honestly might be my favorite character in that entire movie.
I love Jessica Alba's character because she was stupid. She was, like, cool girl, but she was also really stupid.
Yeah, she was very much that kind. Like, the part near the end when she's, like, being lifted towards hell or whatever, and, like, he's trying to get her down, and, like, her costume rips off, so she's just in her underwear, and she just kind of pauses for a second, and then just starts screaming. And I'm like...
also, the part where she's just like, you can smoke weed instead of saving my life?
She's
real
like,
nice.
You're staying stoned with your friends? And then just continues screaming. Yeah, she was like, and like, I wrote down, one of my four notes that I wrote for this entire movie was, girl, as in her, in peril, wearing angel costume. Poetic. Because, like, the whole thing is, like, the devil is, like, trying to kill her. And it's like, she's in an angel costume. Metaphors, but, like, not really. So I just enjoyed that very obvious symbolism.
Yeah, there were a lot of really fun absurdities to that particular
movie. Oh, yeah. It was so entertaining. I had such a great time.
Yeah, because I remember you saying, like, that was the one that you enjoyed the most when we were,
At that point. Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't know, I was really here for the absurdity of it all. Like, even just in the first, like, 10 minutes when I realized, I'm like, oh, this guy, like, is completely oblivious that both of his parents have been murdered.
Yeah.
He's just chilling, going about his day.
Smoking weed.
Yeah, smoking weed, watching TV with headphones on.
Yeah, which made no sense.
Nah.
But, you know, it was the 90s, I guess. There was also a lot of, like, music. They showed a lot of music videos on the TV.
They did, yeah.
They made it a point to show those a lot, which was really funny, because I think that is very much, like, a 90s thing.
His friends were so entertaining to me, the ones that, like, were dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that I mentioned how there was this one scene where, like, I think it was at the, like, prom or dance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the murderer is there, and, like, the murdering hand is there, and a bunch of people are getting, like, killed and stuff, and, like, running around in a panic, and his two friends, who are already dead, who have risen, are just kind of chilling at a table, like, chatting, because it's like, oh, we're already dead, like...
Who cares?
We have no stakes in this.
Yeah.
We're here for the drama.
I love that. Also, yeah. They, like... were, I guess, trying to help what's-his-face, and they were crawling through the ceiling, and they, like, fell, and then he was just like, you let the hand escape, and he was just like, well, fuck you, then.
Yeah. And the very end, where, like, they had written the message on the ceiling above his hospital bed that was, like,
I'm under the bed,
and that was, like, the message that was written above his parents' bed when his parents got murdered, and he's just, like, screaming in the hospital bed, freaking out, because he thinks he's, like, it's all gonna happen again, and they're walking down the hallway, and they're like, oh, should we tell him that we did that? Nah, and I'm like, those are the chaotic friends that, like, I feel like are realistic, where it's like, I'm your best friend, and I will, like, stand by you if your girlfriend's about to get murdered, but I'm absolutely gonna mess with you.
Absolutely.
Like, and that just felt very realistic to me. The least absurd part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was very realistic for us, because it's very much our friend group.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So what would you rate this one?
I actually did write down a rating for this one. Let's see if I still stand by it, because I wrote... Okay, so I think I might... So I think... I'm going to say a 7,
mm-hmm.
because I honestly think it was good in the sense that, like, what they were trying to do, I think they were, like, mostly successful at it.
Yeah.
So, like, in the parts that it was, like, some people may consider bad, it was clearly, like... it was meant to be that bad. Like, it wasn't like, oh, this movie's really bad, so I'm laughing at it. It's like, no, I'm laughing with this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm giving it a solid 7. And it was, again, like we said, it was very quotable, lot of fun with the Hurley and the cat out the window. Like, I was here for the ride.
I was going to say, did I write down any quotes? The only quote I wrote down was, my work here is done, time for the ritualistic sex.
Yeah. Oh, the only quote I wrote down was, when the person who was there to, like, try and stop all the evil, she's driving the van down, like, the highway, and she's like, hurry up, go, some of us are on a special mission, and this is another quote that I wrote down, so I can use it in everyday life, because I'm like, this is me when I'm, like, driving to work every day. I'm like, hurry up, I have places to go!
I mean, that's just me going anywhere. Yeah, not even basically. Anywhere important, it's just me going someplace.
Yeah, this is very true.
I gave it a 6. I gave this a solid 6.
That's fair.
Because
it was not amazing. I was
I have weirdly high standards.
Oh, I guess. No, you do. My standards are not. I was just thoroughly entertained the whole time, personally. So that's why I gave it a 6. Because I was having a great ass time.
Yeah, know? It's an entertaining movie, absolutely. But mm-hmm. yeah. So, we're finally at our last one, which is Detention.
This is why I took the most notes on, and almost all of them are quotes.
This is honestly one of my favorite movies.
It was so good. Like, from the very beginning, I'm like, Yes, I'm excited to see where this goes.
Oh, what? And Taylor Fisher goes like, I'm Taylor Fisher, and yeah. I'm a bitch.
I honestly, the saddest part of this movie for me was when she got killed, like, a few minutes in, and I'm like, no! I love her! I stan her, and I want her to be here for the rest of the movie.
Honestly, that's like when I read this script called Cheerleader Death Squad. With some other friends of ours, we did like a table read.
Oh my god.
And this character named Kippy Fisk died. And she, oh my god. I was so upset when she died.
Yeah, I was so sad because she was so funny to me. And like then she died so quickly. Like when she was like, when she just starts with like, you said her name is Jess Taylor?
Hmm?
What's her name again? It was, like, Jess Taylor or something like that.
Jess Taylor? What?
I don't know. Whatever her name was, she's like, oh, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a bitch. And then she spells out bitch, and the H was Hoobastank, and she's like, what? They're good. And I think that was the part where I'm like, so when was this movie made?
Yeah, it was 2011, and like, it's set in 2011.
And the visual style is very, like, it's much more modern.
Yeah.
But all the references were very much, like, I felt like mid-early 2000s, so I'm like, and it made a little more sense when they started getting into the time travel, but still.
Yeah.
I think it was more of, like, just whoever wrote it was more in that, like, mindset of references.
Which is Joseph Kahn, the director, who does, like, all of those music videos.
Right. And I think, once you said that he did music videos, it made a lot more sense, because I'm like, I think one thing this film was really good at is it made really good use of music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both, like, the, like, soundtrack and, like, score were so good, mm-hmm. and, like, were so well utilized.
Yeah, I remember you commenting on the editing. You were saying the editing was done very well.
It was. Well, it reminded me of, like, you know, everyone loves Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Which, like, for a good reason. Like, he's really good at visual comedy, and, like, there are certain parts of this movie, especially in the editing and, like, sound design, that reminded me of Edgar Wright, especially with the transitions. It transitioned to and from scenes really well. It used a lot of match cuts and, like, similar motions and used sound to transition from one to another, and it did a really, really good job of that, so everything flowed so seamlessly.
Hmm.
And so, like, and then, yeah, it, I think it did visual comedy in a way that you don't really see in a lot of horror movies. Like,
yeah.
You see a lot of, like, gag stuff, and you see a lot, like, funny dialogue, but this was visually just a very entertaining, whether it was horror or not, was just visually really well done.
Yeah, it's very, because I was telling you, I was like, the cinematography of it is, like,
absolutely.
Very good. So the people who say that they don't like the movie, I feel like a lot of people who say that they don't like this movie aren't people who, like, I don't know. I don't want to say they don't appreciate film a certain way, but I mean, I kind of feel like they don't, because the cinematography is really good.
Yeah. Like, on a technical basis, a lot of parts of this film were done really well. Like, the editing and sound design, like I said, huge fan of, and the cinematography really, like, heightens it.
Mm-hmm.
The,
like, only weird shot to me was that thumbs up one at the party.
Yeah.
That's the only weird shot in the whole movie that I thought was,
like,
odd.
But one thing I thought that the director did a really good job of is establishing a visual style, because they did that very quickly in the very beginning of the film.
Mm.
And, like, they really kept with that same visual style throughout the whole film. And they did a really good job of that. And again, especially with the visual comedy, that's not something you see as much anymore. And so I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I also really like the, when they did, like, the pop-ups on screen of, like, text and stuff, they did it in a very creative way that wasn't very, like...
Absolutely. Like, I wrote down here, my first note is A+ opening. Like, it hooks you on, like, the first 5 seconds, and I was in. Like, they hook you really well, and the opening credits, I thought, were a lot of fun, because it actually took me a couple minutes to realize that they were doing opening credits.
Yeah, because they blended so well into the scene.
Yeah, they snuck the names in so cleverly, like... Yeah, it was really well done to where it felt like you were watching scenes, not like you were watching opening credits. Because I feel like a lot of times it's like, here are a bunch of names over inserts and someone doing, like, I don't know, boring stuff. Maybe someone getting ready in the morning, like...
Yeah. So. I mean, this definitely goes up there with top opening credits for me, like,
oh,
that
absolutely.
And, like, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Have, like,
yeah,
some yeah. of the best opening
it was
credits,
done so
credits
well,
I've ever
so.
Seen.
Like, I think, like, a bunch of my stuff is just like, oh, this thing is really good. Oh, the visual comedy is great. Like, transitions are a lot of fun.
Well, what were some of the quotes that you
and
wrote
then the rest.
Out?
Okay, the first one I wrote down is, I believe in violence, trees, and mortgages. I don't even remember who said that.
I don't either. That's why I'm like, who said mortgages?
It was one of the jocks, I think.
Oh, interesting.
To Riley.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember, but I wrote it down because I'm like, that's funny. I also wrote down, Americans want chickens to die.
That debate scene was so good.
It was so good. Because
his rebuttal argument was so good.
It was amazing. All of that. I also wrote down, I'll be sure to call you when I'm murdered.
I have down here, you should have thought about that before you gave Billy your after-school special. And then I also have, I'm hot, your house sucks.
Like, this, there are so many, like, this is one of those movies where there are just zingers in every single, like, you can't write down every good quote in this movie. It would take you too long. I also wrote
but
down.
But I tried.
Yeah. I also wrote down, Wikipedia, bitch. And then in response, it's called Encyclopedia, slut bag.
I also love this one. It was like, I'm saving myself for marriage. I avoid teenage pregnancy.
I also wrote down two just singular words, and that is freakosaurus and queen.
Yeah, because it was just like homecoming king and queen. And that's why I was just like, that's how
so
you know
good.
He's gay.
It's so good. Oh my god. I just.
Also, you let a serial killer, or you let a mass murderer feel your bosom. That was a good
it
one.
It was, oh my god. Yeah, just, it was. Yeah, every single scene in this movie had, like, a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. That's why it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Like, overall, like, I really enjoyed it, but I think my biggest complaint is I was confused for a lot of it, and I think part of it was at this point I wasn't necessarily giving it 100% of my attention the entire time, so it was really easy to miss parts that explained other parts.
Yeah.
But even this being said, like, it felt like a lot was going on, to the point where it was, especially with the different, like, jumping in between different times and going into different people's backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah.
I got confused very easily. It's one of those where if you look away for a second and you look back, you can be totally lost.
I can agree with that. So, it's definitely a movie you have to give it a good amount of your attention.
Right. Like, I kind of want to watch it again where I really sit down and, like, pay attention to it, because I spent a lot of it being really confused about what's happening with the overall plot, or, like, what they're currently doing has to do with the plot. Like, the whole time travel thing really kind of, like I told you, like, really threw me off. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, okay, well, there's this person running around murdering everyone, like, very slasher film style. And then now they're time traveling to stop someone from exploding the school with a bomb?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was very confused to where, how one got to the other. Because then it went back to slasher eventually. And I just got really confused for a bit.
I mean, that's fair. As someone who's watched this multiple times, I can definitely tell you there's a lot of the plot points are peppered in to the fact that some of them are in the like some of it is in the background, and if
right.
you don't notice it, it's very right. easy to like miss it.
Right, absolutely. And like that being said, even when I really wasn't sure what was happening and how it fit into the plot, I was still entertained. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, even if you don't understand what's going on, you can still watch it and be entertained by what's happening. You just may not understand the context of it.
Yeah.
So like, even when I was confused, I was still enjoying myself. So I think that being considered
yeah.
is good.
So what did you rate this one?
I didn't write it down yet, so I actually hadn't thought about it because we finished it and then immediately started recording. So
we were fresh.
Oh, it's so hard.
I mean, I can go first.
Yeah, you go first.
I gave this an 8 because I really do love it. It's very enjoyable. There's a lot of really fun stuff in it. It's very quotable.
Yeah.
So again, like most movies, if it's entertaining enough that I will literally watch it over and over and over again, yeah, I will give it a high rating.
Yeah. I think I'm also going to give it an 8, because I was thinking more 7.5, but I'm like, you know what, I want to give it the benefit of the doubt since I wasn't giving it 100% of my attention. I think if I paid closer attention, I think I'd be able to, because really my only issue with it is that I really was confused for a lot of it. But overall, like, I think it was very clever and very entertaining, had really good dialogue, and just on a technical basis was done really well. So I think, yeah, I think I'm also going to give it an 8.
Great.
Because I had a great time.
I mean, all of
these IMDb, get it together!
Because it only has, like, a 6-something. Yeah. So I think, I can't believe we did it. We watched all of those movies.
So many movies. Oh
and
my
we
God.
Got through them in a good amount of time. Even, yeah, like, reviewing them, we got through them in a good amount of time.
Honestly, yeah. Because we really haven't spent that much time.
Yeah.
Doing all of this.
Ah, so great.
I still have time to do things today. Will I?
Yet to be
more
seen.
More than 11.
So make sure you tune in next time. We'll be watching more movies. I don't know what yet.
Do we ever?
Not really. We usually just pull things out. I mean, we're probably going to... We've been talking about starting a new subsection of this where we just watch movies
that... things we haven't seen.
Yeah, because I have so many movies I haven't seen, so we're just going to start a new series called Haven't Seen It.
Yeah. It's like, it's a fun play on I Don't Know Her.
Yeah. Especially since you haven't seen a lot of movies. But also,
so many movies.
But it's really funny because the ones that I'm
suggesting,
I was going to
say, haven't seen it is basically all of these episodes for me.
Yeah.
Because there's so few, like, I think especially when I was younger, I got in that loop of, like, I found a few movies I liked and I just watched those over and over and over again.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, so tune in next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.